Good afternoon, Sharks fans. It is a happy Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. Let's see, what else can we call it? Oh yes, Canadian Thanksgiving. So we're thankful to our Canadian viewers. Thank you for watching Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. Do us a favor, join us in the chat on the YouTube page or on the app. Also, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Smash it. We are on a quest for 1,000. Make sure you subscribe down below. Make sure you hit that bell, because that little bell will ding-a-ling your phone and let you know when we go on the air. Joining me, as always, to my left side, it's AJ Strong.
How you doing, boys?
Okay, I guess not the greatest in the world right now, but joining me to the other side, Mr. Chris JWS. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How you feeling?
After that, it's only downhill from here. It can only get better.
Yeah, it can only get better, folks. Let's be honest about that one. Sharks lose a tough one, 4-0 to the Islanders. We're here to break it on down. Let's get things going here. First period, no scoring to talk about. But, guys, I'll start with you, AG, at first. Seemed like the Sharks dominated this period early.
I thought they came out with jump. They, despite the ridiculously early start, someone needs to, I don't know, tell the NHL that people don't usually have Columbus Day off, but I thought they had jump, and then Kane takes that penalty early on for slashing. Obviously, he didn't like it, but I didn't care. I thought that was a ticky-tack penalty, but either way, Sharks came out with some jump, and I felt like, for the most part, they actually kind of they looked really solid in this game, but then the game progressed.
Chris, what were your feelings on that first period where the Sharks did take two penalties with Kane, as AJ mentioned, for slashing? Pavelski got some hooking. Looked like they were cracking down on the stick infractions this afternoon.
Yeah. Definitely. That first period, I liked a lot of what I saw. I saw some good life, from the Sharks, but they couldn't get one in. It feels like right now they just need to have one of those games where they get a bunch of goals in to kind of just break through, because there's a lot of good opportunities I'm seeing that just to scotch off. So not all bad today, for sure.
All right. Onward to the second period. That's when things got interesting. First period, by the way, the shots were 13-11 in favor of the Islanders. Sharks take a penalty, or get a penalty, interference on Evander Kane. They don't do anything on that one. 6:44 later, Anders Lee, the Islanders' new captain, takes a hooking call on Tomas Hertl. Definitely some more chances, but just not bearing it in. And then, of course, things start getting downward. Desert dog, I guess you could say, as Scott Mayfield comes out of the penalty box. And then just a little bit later, gets his first on the year from Zizekas at 5:16. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong period. Ah, thank you, NHL.com. I love you. Anders Lee at 14:34, he came out of the penalty box and gets the Islanders' first goal on the power play. What's a power play goal? From Bailey and Barzal. That ends up being the game-winning goal. Looks like it was just a crashing the net. And for the second period, guys, it's they definitely had the chances. They definitely were making chances go, but then they just seem to have just a slight little breakdown, and the Islanders made them pay dearly.
Absolutely. I mean, in the second period, to end the first period, Dylan gets tripped, no call. To open the second period, Couture gets tripped, no call. Then you had the interference on Kane. The Sharks did get three shots on goal, but the Islanders did get three clears in that, and they actually gave up a shot on goal against during that power play. When Hurdle got hooked, the Sharks only got one shot on goal during that power play. Not the best. But to go back to Anders Lee, you also have to take into the account that Burns lost his stick at that point, and Sorensen had to pass his off. So it's essentially, you know, a 5-on-3.5. And Sorensen did all that he could. But, I mean, it was just going to cash in at some point. Now, the Sharks earlier had a similar situation where one of the Islanders lost their stick, but, of course, could not cash in on that power play opportunity. But, yeah. The other thing that should be noted as well, the second period, the Sharks held the Islanders like one shot on goal through the first 10 minutes of that. So they looked good. They just could not solve Leonard.
And go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, completely agree with AJ, because I think the first 32 minutes were the Sharks in control of this game, and then the last 8 minutes or so of the second period is where it really started. They started to lose it. That goal happens, and when you're struggling to score like that, one goal feels like 10, and it felt like they just never could get, you know, just couldn't break through.
No, and I think you were just waiting for them to finally bang home a shot into the net. Just nothing going with them. To quote a tweet from Charles Marlowe, you know, you can only get, what was it? We'll mention that a little later. Let's move on to the third period, because that's when this game really took control in the favor of the Islanders. Scott Mayfield from Cizikis, as I mentioned earlier, yes, premature goalage there. 5:16, the third, made it 2-0. Matt Martin was wide open in front of the net as both defensemen, yes, that's Vlasic and Erik Karlsson, go into the corner, battling the same guy. It comes right out to Mayfield. His first is to Martin. His first in the year from Philippia, and Komarov makes it 3-0 Islanders. And then Casey Cizikis from Zach Boychuk, 1904. That's an empty netter, but it's also a shorthanded goal. I believe that's the second one this season. And for the Sharks, they finish up on the wrong side of 4-0. Chris, your take from the third period, and were you surprised that that PDB pulled the goalie down 3 with about 4 minutes to go?
Surprised, no. I mean, at that point, what do you really have to lose? I mean, maybe you get a goal quickly, suddenly 2 goals down with 3-ish minutes to go. Not an impossible situation. Maybe put the goalie back. You might as well. What's the difference really between losing 3-0 and 5-0? So, you know, it's a stats thing, really. It doesn't matter otherwise. So I thought that was the right move. We might as well try, because you have nothing else to do.
AJ, Steve Cropper in the chat saying it looks like they got intimidated and lost confidence. A goal could have changed that. I kind of agree with it. Do you?
A goal could have changed it. A power play could have changed it. I don't know if these guys are just gripping the sticks too tight at this point. You know, LeBanc also takes a silly penalty with a boarding call. You know, PDB obviously trying to find something. He starts jumbling the lines, puts Donskoy up with Couture and Hurdle. He puts Burns and Karlsson together as a defensive pairing. In the Sharks, you know, I mean, you can't sit there and say, like, oh, well, there's a little bit you could go, well, the Sharks probably should have gotten a couple extra power plays because of the trips on Couture and Dillon. But still, it was even. Both squads got 4 power plays, the difference being, of course, that the Islanders actually scored on one of theirs. I don't know. I don't know if these guys are just gripping it too tight because the expectations are so high because of the arrival of Karlsson. And it's also the second straight game where the Sharks have gotten a power play in the final minutes of the third and just aren't able to capitalize. You know, God love you, DeBoer, but maybe leave Steve's spot on the East Coast or something. I mean, something's going to change. And I say that in jest. The Sharks' power play did have a lot of really good looks, but you got to give props to Leonard, man. I mean, the dude, 35 shots on goal. He turned them all away. You know, not all of them totally quality. Then again, you could also go back to, what was it, Pelech? Just like passing to nobody when he had a wide open net. So just, you know, not a great start. But hey, they got a rested Philly team. That'll be great tomorrow. So you can forget about it soon and move on. But you can almost take a quote unquote moral victory from this. Like, they did look sharp. They just, it's that idea of they're this close. And once they figure it out, it feels like the floodgate should open.
I completely agree with that. I think that one of these games we're going to see a 5 or 6 goal onslaught where they just wreck some poor team that gets the full wrath of all this pent up energy, because the chances are there. It's just a little bit off, whether it's a missed pass here or a great opportunity that goalie makes a great save on. Eventually, those are going to start going in and hopefully get this team on a roll. Like, we're only 3 games in. We don't need to freak out yet.
No, and I think that's a sentiment across the entire Sharks territory. Getting back to a tweet that I saw earlier on the Twitter machine, from Charles Marlowe, at some point the whole "we ran into a hot goalie" excuse runs thin and you just suck. I'm sensing a little bit frustration, but I'm not sensing too much panic, Chris.
Frustration for sure. Yeah, I think panic would be absolutely the wrong reaction at this point. Like, there's no need to press the panic button. But, you know, if we're 10 or 20 games in and we're still having the same exact conversation, might be time to grip a little bit. But I think the first thing that's going to happen, if it's that bad 20 games in, there might be people on the coaching staff losing their jobs, or someone might be getting traded, you know, Justin Braun for another forward. Who knows?
It's quite possible that there could be some moves, and we definitely saw a number of movement with the defensive core, you know, defensive blending as we've seen it. AJ, what are your thoughts as we pretty much put a bow on this one overall? I mean, Rob and Leonard, 35 save performance today. Dang it, almost it tonight.
Dude, Leonard had a great game. I was a little surprised they didn't go with Grice, because we know that kryptonite backup goalie, especially when it's a former teammate. But I don't even know. I mean, it's gonna again, we're 3 games in, so you know, again, like what Chris said, let's freak out when we're 15 games into this. You also, we're only 3 games in and you've already got Thornton out for a week. I thought Melker looked okay on top, but it wouldn't surprise me if they make further changes. It's just, I don't know. They have to figure out the special teams right now. And the fact that we've been on this for so long makes you wonder why something significantly hasn't changed. We've seen them playing 1-3-1 forever. Now, granted, they did put, you know, Burns and Carlson together at one point, but I don't know. Maybe it's Burns at forward next game? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
Reset the counter.
Gosh, yes. Jeez, throw the thing in. So you're saying changes, AJ?
I mean, well, I really like the second and third lines. I like the Couture line. I like the Donskoy with Suomela and Kane. Though that's potentially been the best line through 3 games. So I don't have a problem with that. It's, I don't know. You got to find something to click on that top line if they're going to eat up those minutes. And maybe you consider putting Pavelski and Meyer on that top line, but instead of having Pavelski slide over to center, maybe you give Chartier a look there. Maybe you give Gambrell a look there. Try a different pivot. You know you're replacing Thornton very, very likely after this season. Maybe start making those changes now.
And when it's time for a change, think, oh, wait, baseball season's over in the Bay Area. Never mind. Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. And Dave B chiming in on the chat. And by all means, folks, join us in the YouTube chat or they're just talking it up. Big time. I see we even have a Caps fan in there as well. Dave B. Pilot, with the decline of Pabs and Burns, as well as Jumbo being old and broken, I just think the Sharks are all that offensively. I'm sorry, aren't all that offensively talented.
Harsh. I wouldn't quite agree with that. I mean, I think if we're expecting a lot of our offense to come from Thornton, well, then we're in trouble. I do think Pavelski is declining, and we already, you know, could see a little bit of that last year, although, I mean, it might add something to do with some injuries. We don't know for sure, but he was never a particularly fast guy. So it is kind of a question what happens to him in the coming years. But overall, there's plenty of other guys. There's Kane, there's Donskoy, there's Hurdle, and of course, Carlson is pretty dang good. Even if Burns is having a rough go of it lately, Carlson's still pretty dang good. So there's offensive talent. Like this team, and they are not missing by a mile here. They're missing by a little bit, and that can turn around really quick.
They're missing by a skosh.
Just a skosh.
Just a skosh. I think we all owe AJ a quarter for that one, though.
I know.
But yeah, it's just, and I could sense, like I said, I can sense the frustration. It just seems like they are. Like you said, AG, they're gripping their sticks. Kane seemed very frustrated and upset.
Well, he took a couple penalties that he didn't agree with either one of them, and you're going to see that with any guy who feels, you know, show me the hockey player that takes a penalty and goes, yeah, that was a good call. I totally did that. You're never going to see that. They're going to complain about everything because they want to get the calls, and that's fine. The call, that first slash that he took, I actually thought, looking at it, I thought it was a good call because you always have to look at that as a case of, you know, if the situation was reversed, would you want the Sharks to get that call? And I look at that and I go, yeah, that's, you know, Kane, just, he got his stick up. You got to be better with your stick. The slash on Clutterbuck, I actually thought that one had more of a shot at not getting a call. Like that one, it was like, I can understand why Kane was upset at that one, but his first one, I was kind of like, you kind of did it, pal, just own it. So again, three games in, let's not quite push the panic button just yet. Nobody in the Pacific Division is killing it so far after three games, so let's see where we're at the end of this road trip. Let's see where we're at once Jumbo hopefully comes back. Knee issues are tricky, so we'll see how that works out. I just want to see what the team looks like after they get this road trip out of the way. And there's also good news. The Rangers are coming up too. That's done well to cure the ills of the Sharks during some years.
Are we going to put Lundqvist in retirement? Paging to watch Hurdle. And you're right, AJ, as I look at the standings here, Anaheim is in first place with 4 points. Hard to believe that you thought without Corey Perry that this team could falter, but they have done exceptionally well with all the injury issues they've had.
And now Getzloff out.
Real? Oh, jeez. LA with Jonathan Quick out. They're going to live and die by the sword, as a Jerk and Rocket would say. They're at 3 points. Calgary at two. Vancouver at two, along with Vegas, San Jose. Edmonton and Arizona are pointless so far this season.
They're pointless every season.
Oh! Ouch. So looking at the final stats on this game, the Sharks outshot the Islanders 35-30. Faceoffs, they dominated the faceoff circle 61-39 in favor of San Jose. Hits, credit the Islanders for more than doubling up on the hit counter and the block shots, 21 and 23-9 respectively, in those categories. Islanders did have a few more giveaways. Not gonna try to antagonize AJ here, but Islanders are one for four in the power play. The Sharks go 0-4 on their power plays and give up a shorty, despite that being an empty net goal, mind you.
I mean, it's just
it's game three of the season. There's going to be some frustrations, though.
Yeah, but you're going to get frustrated. And again, I go back to the idea of look at the expectations on this team after getting Erik Karlsson. It takes time to find chemistry, people. It's, you know, it's not like Thornton came in here after being traded back in, you know, 2005 and found immediate chemistry. Now, granted, he did make some people like, I don't know, Mark Smith and Nils Ekman look like world beaters after a couple weeks, but it does take a little bit of time. So, again, I don't think this is something to get too freaked out about, the fact that after three games, the Sharks have not picked up a regulation win. Again, talk to me after game 15 and let's see where we're at. And again, no one in the Pacific has come out gangbusters. So,
I'm just going to go up to the top of Communication Hill, that little tower up there, and scream, small sample size. Remember it.
So I'm looking in the chat here right now. Mike Neves, two right shot demon on the power play, not good. Steve Cropper, they just couldn't close the deal. Once that goal opens up, we'll be fine. Need some confidence.
I'm also kind of wondering how long they're going to continue to roll with eight D-men. I mean, you would assume that Wilson, you know, he's one of those guys that makes and takes calls every day up until the deadline. You would think somebody has to be making a phone call about Tim Head, maybe. Well, again, another thing that we'll see how long that goes through. Besides Gambrell, there's also been a couple other CUDA players that have looked pretty solid through a couple of games. So, well, there are options here is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And I'll throw back right back at you, AJ. What did you think of Roque Chartier's NHL debut?
I've seen worse. No, the kid got off a couple good shots. There was a couple times he took some hits in the corner where it was, hey, welcome to the NHL, kid. But I think he's going to be fine. He had a fantastic camp. I mean, a good enough of a camp that it knocked Gambrell out, who a lot of people said at the beginning was almost a shoe-in, that it was essentially going to be between Charche and Suomela for that other pivot spot. So the fact that he had such a great camp, I think Charche, kid, man, make the most of this opportunity while Jumbo's out. That's, you know, take advantage, just like you did in camp.
Yeah, completely agree. Puck Mom, of course, saying, sure, it's game three of the season, but they should look a little more in sync than they were.
I like the comment on the chat, potentially hanging on to Heed, waiting for a better trade for Braun. That could be interesting, especially we know that Vlasic and Braun have had chemistry for such a long time, but if Vlasic's going to roll out there with Karlsson, that could in fact make Braun you know, expendable. And isn't Braun a righty?
Yes, yes.
Man, that's hard to find in the NHL some days.
At this point, his contract's pretty reasonable too. He's got 1 year left on it, which is a pretty good value, pretty good thing to hang out there. And, you know, again, no offense to him, poor guy is the fourth best defenseman on the team. He's pretty dang good on most teams. You know, he's a solid second line, you know, second pair guy on almost any team in the league. So,
oh, incredibly underrated. Yeah,
I would say he would be really good trade bait. Hold on to Heed, cheaper contract, younger, and see if someone needs that guy who can move the puck, who can play, you know, he can play both ways pretty well. He can get the puck through on the offensive end. He can move the puck up on the defensive end. He's very responsible. Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Shall we do it, guys? It should be quite interesting to do one at, well, live. It's 1:11 p.m., but there are some scores to report. So let's get into the NHL wraparound.
I really got to make a video thing for that. But anyway, go ahead.
It just needs to like come up with the wraparound like in letters, and it suddenly drops on top of it. Smash, reach.
Oh man.
Oh, the creativity of all of us could be quite interesting on this. All right. Currently playing right now, Buffalo is up 2-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights. Jack Eichel with 2 goals so far in this game. We'll keep you updated on that while we keep going. Earlier today, they probably played about the same time. Bruins win 6-3 over the Ottawa Senators. As Bergeron gets a hat trick, with Pasternak getting 2 goals, Wagner getting his first of the year, Ryan Dzingel with 2 for the Ottawa Senators. We told you about the Sharks losing to the Islanders 4-0. Later tonight, the only remaining game on the schedule tonight is at 7 p.m. as the Anaheim Ducks take on the Detroit Red Wings, as they will begin their 25th home opener, and I think they break out those awesome third jerseys tonight to celebrate their 25th season.
Yep.
At home. During the weekend, the Barracuda took care of Bakersfield. What was that score, AJ?
I want to say 5-1.
Yeah, Rourke Chartier had himself another great night, which is why he got called up.
Well, that mainly, and the whole jumbo injury, but yeah.
Yeah, that was just going to lead into my transition here with Joe Thornton on injury reserve, swelling. It was originally after the LA game. Turns out it seems like it could be an infection. Chris, you and I have dealt with knee injuries, but yours more rougher than mine, I would think, but you mentioned to us that this could be a lot more serious than maybe what people are thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, this is what took out Rafi Torres in the end, amid all those suspensions, was a persistent infection in his knee that was treated with antibiotics and just couldn't beat it. I mean, you get pretty much no blood flow in that area, so the body can't really fight off infections well in that area. You have to treat it with antibiotics. You have to have outside intervention, but it's one of those things, if the antibiotics don't get the job done, it can be a career ender. So, you know, this is the first we've heard of it. So the time to really start worrying about it is if, you know, he comes back and then another month from then has to get treated for another infection in that knee. That's when you start to wonder if it's just going to persist and possibly this could be his last year. I hope not, but that's the kind of balanced look on it from what I would say.
Yeah. And we just, it just reminded me of Rafi Torres. You know, it's tough to see, because he got that infection as well, and that's just concerning.
Well, and I if I recall correctly, you know, way back after dark, even when this was a pre-recorded podcast, I think I was one of the first people to say Rafi Torres was done and over at the time. Like, I couldn't find anyone who said it before I did. And that was right as his second infection happened. I still have like a whole crap load of notes in my Apple notes, and you could see the date it was last modified. I predicted that, like, something, it was like summer of 2014 or something.
Yep. I remember that well, but we just, I think maybe one, hopefully, kind of silver lining is that Jumbo literally just went through this a year ago. So, I mean, take that for what it is. But, I mean, it's better that this happens third game into the season versus three games left in the season.
Definitely that. And this gives them a chance to kind of look at what the future is and make more plans. Because anything he adds is a bonus as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Completely. So let's see. I mean, we've gone just over a half hour. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Well, we get our first look at Gritty tomorrow. That should be, you know, who, if you're unaware, lost his mind, I guess, in a toy store because there was a bunch of sharks or at some sort of aquarium or whatnot. So go check out his Twitter feed because he lost his mind. No response from SJ Sharky at this point. But I would imagine that we might see something if the Sharks are victorious tomorrow in Philadelphia. We shall see. Just Gritty, not so much one for the whole city of brotherly love thing so far. He's trying to make a name for himself.
I just picture Sharky like lighting a match to a pile of Muppet dolls or something.
I picture Burns looking at Gritty and going and thinking, oh, is that a mirror? No.
Oh,
you see, wow. Like one of those like movie scenes where it's like they're trying to do the movement together and wait a minute, is that my reflection or is that someone there?
Yeah.
Oh, it should be interesting once he gets to San Jose for the
All-Star game.
All-Star weekend. Yeah, that should be quite interesting. Mike, that was in the chat. When is Sonya coming on Teal Town USA? You know, I don't think Brody will allow us to kidnap her.
Yeah, Brody is already our exclusive.
Yeah, we could maybe talk to Sonya's dad, who's always in the Twitter mission chats. He's really cool. I actually met him. I think it was a playoff game or the prospect scrimmage, and he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, you're Puck Guy 14. I see you on the chat all the time." It's like, "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "You guys do a great job." I was like, "Well, Mr. Tidinko, thank you very much. You do a great job, and so does Sonya. He's a hockey coach himself, so it's pretty cool to see the connection there, which was nice."
Well,
so.
I know NBCSN was even having a problem today. They were having a little issue with the stream, and I think somebody hit the off button a little early during the first Twitter mission. But again, beginning of the season, everybody's working out the kinks. You can see us right here. You know, we're trying some new graphical elements. We're trying to bring a little more production value to the show. And every show, look forward to it getting just a scotch better. Just every single time. We're going to work on making it better and better and better. So by all means, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Drive to 1,000 people.
That's right.
Tell a friend.
And feel free to let us know what we can do better with this, because this season is a big change for us. So
we're going through the change, people.
this is our Eric Carlson. We call it OBS.
Let's put it this way. Speaking of changes, could the Vegas Golden Knights lose two in a row? The Sabres are up 4-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights as Berglund and Pominville have scored for the Buffalo Sabres. That's just... Has the league figured out the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yes.
Well, just like they figured out the San Jose Sharks. I mean, they had a whole summer to study the film, so they know how to deal with them a little bit better now. I think when it's all said and done, they're going to still be there, but... You know, it's tough to stay good in this league, stay on top, you know, even if it's just making the playoffs, because it's, you know, ask Edmonton how hard it is. They thought they were going to be going to the playoffs every single year for the next decade after they went last year. So,
well,
there you go.
That's a perfect point that goes back to the whole Carlson acquisition, is the idea of chemistry. James Neal found chemistry so fast in Vegas. And have we seen that so far with Patches, Stastny? I remains to be seen. You know, when you bring in big name players, sometimes it works out really well, and sometimes it takes some time. It's probably going to take a little time in Vegas, and Carlson, that's going to take a little bit of time. Again, I keep going back to the idea of the expectations went through the roof. As soon as they got Carlson, it's like, okay, so the Sharks are going to win the Pacific, but you know, a couple people still think that Vegas will do it, but most people, all of a sudden, the odds in Vegas changed. You know, I think it was, what, 33 to 1? And then after they got rid of Bodker, it went down to like 22 to 1, which I found very, very funny.
Addition by subtraction, quite right. Literally.
Mm-hmm. But was since the addition of Carlson, all of a sudden it went down to like 12 to 1. So, you know,
that'll work out well for you, because I assume you took it out when it was the Bodker one. I assume you put money on them then.
Had I been in Nevada at the time, I would have. But what are you going to do? They got to legalize gambling, sportsbook gambling in California, is what I'm saying. That would be nice.
Oh, boy.
So
then we'll have a prop bet segment on this program.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll have...
Call my number, 1-800, rip me off.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
it's all going to be on a recorded message for $49.99.
That first prop bet is going to have something to do with the power play. Guarantee you.
You can do a parlay on the power play. There you go.
Oh, the power play parlay. I like that.
We could just, you know, have fun and play some odds on there.
All right. Let's wrap it up and get on with life here.
Yeah, I think this whole 10 a.m. start has thrown us off a little bit, but nonetheless, we hope you enjoyed it as well. Chris, tell me where the people can find you.
You can find me somewhere in North America that are flying over North America, but if you want to find me online, I am on Twitter at ChrisJWS. Probably don't follow me. I'm a terrible Twitter. But yeah.
Awesome. AJ, I will turn to you. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
At AJ _ Strong on Twitter, on the Instagram, and of course also throwing up some stuff for at Tealtown USA on the Instagram. You know, at some point, Steve Spott needs to worry about his job. I mean, they had some great looks today. But it does, the fact that this has been ongoing over seasons and it's not changing, and they haven't that no one has basically kind of been held accountable, I think needs to change. So either start putting them in bunches or hold somebody accountable.
I agree. At this point, there is almost no excuse for having a power play that isn't top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 0-10 is gonna be starting to get unacceptable. And if they go to New Jersey next Sunday with an 0-4 on the power play, and for that matter, with more wins than both football teams or the Cleveland Browns, it should be very concerning in Sharks territory.
Well, somebody had mentioned that there's only one team that has had as many power play opportunities that has gone 0-for, and still the Sharks have had like more chances. Like Chicago, I think, was the other team. So it's got a breakthrough.
Yep. And Chicago's off to a nice start, 2-0-1 in that one. All right. You can find me on Twitter, of course, at PuckGuy14. I'm also on Instagram with the same Twitter same handle. Make sure if you missed anything or you want to watch this again, since the game was on so early, I think NBCS California is going to replay this game later this evening. So if you want to recreate
7:38,
yeah, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I mean, it can be. You can watch us again. It'll be like actual After Dark. Check us out on the YouTube channel at Teal Town USA. We are currently at, where are we? We are at 908 subscribers. We are getting very close to 1,000. The prize closet is filled up with goodies when we hit 1,000. So tell your friends to hit us up on the YouTube channel. Of course, everything you can find is on tealtownusa.com. Ian Reed just put up an article about the Barracuda. Felix has come up with some great articles. I know you guys have kind of been pondering a little bit left and right about putting some more content up there. So check us out there always at tealtownusa.com. But also make sure as you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find all of our audio content on SoundCloud, which connects to our iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn app. So check us out everywhere. Just look for Teal Town USA on your Google machine. So with that, we will leave you with the final score. The Islanders 4, Sharks nothing. They play tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. against the Flyers. We will be back with you following that game. So for Chris J.W., getting this mixed up here. For AJ Strong, for Chris JWS, I'm Eric Kura, bidding you a pleasant good afternoon, and keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a great afternoon.